But today I'm going to be talking to you about a part of God that some of us don't understand fully. How many of us don't understand the Holy Ghost fully? I've been a minister now going on 18 years, and I still don't, and I've got a whole lot more to learn, and I long for those years that I can learn more about Him and from Him. But the one thing that I want us to understand today is that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is deity. He's not just deity, because if you remember, in ancient times they had a number of deities, correct? We have one deity, and He is in the form of the Trinity. He exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you look at the flowers today, you'll see the symbol of the Trinity. You also see seven white carnations, which represent the number of perfection. Because in the Trinity, or from the Trinity, flows perfection. For He is perfect. That is our God. And as we come to that, it's realizing that truly the Holy Spirit is not something that's out there. He's not an angel or something less than. He is God. If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. We're going to be starting in Acts chapter 5. Starting in the book of Acts chapter 5. And we're going to be reading a little story, and I think it's kind of cute because God encompasses realities in some very strange and real places. I was so grateful for Miss Faye this morning when she read the scripture that she read, because it's kind of an absurdity, okay? It's kind of a rebuke right to us because of what we are as human beings. We'll say one thing but do another. Okay, and in the time when they had the altar set up, they would pray by the gift of the altar rather than the altar. The altar was made from God. The gifts were brought by who? Men. Okay, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And we as men think more of ourselves than we ought. Okay, we need to remember who goes before us, who made us, who is our maker, who is ever present here with us, who is our help. Okay, who is it that sustains us? And the story here that we're about to read is really kind of one of those stories. So let's read it. I'm going to begin in verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 4, and then I'm going to end with verse 9. It says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" And then jumping down to verse 9, speaking to Sapphira, Peter says, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." Now here's two people that did something, and we need to understand the story a little bit better. They sold a piece of property, and they promised the money to the church. Okay? There was a point in time, and it's been said to me often, that if the church actually became the church and did the things that the church did, pastors wouldn't know what to do with themselves. Because there would be such an influx of finance into the church that we could literally change the world. Gee, I thought that's what we're supposed to do. But in this day, Ananias and Sapphira wanted to look good. How many of us like to look good? I think I look good today. You will not see me in this for quite some time unless you're at a wedding or perhaps a baptism. Because pastor doesn't wear this. This thing is hot. Yes, it looks good. and I don't wear it to look good. I'd rather preach the word and let the word look good. Amen? Amen. But Ananias and Sapphira wanted to look good in the eyes of everybody, so they said, hey, we're going to tell the church that we're going to give them this money, but we're going to keep part of it back because, you know, we don't know what might be down the road, and you know, we might need some of this for our nest egg. Boy, that's trusting God, isn't it? That's looking full in the face of God and saying, hey, Lord, we're sold out to you. No, it's not. So in doing so, in holding some of it back, they lied to God. But the scripture here says they lied to someone in particular. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And then Paul goes on to explain to them, in lying to the Holy Spirit, you have lied to God. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit is here to empower the church to do and be the church. If we're truly convicted to sell a piece of property by God, God will empower us to do what's necessary. These people were not empowered by the Holy Spirit. They took upon themselves to do something in a fleshly manner, and in that flesh they found themselves dead, because that's exactly what the flesh does. The flesh kills. But had they truly operated in the Holy Spirit, who is God, He would have enabled them to give all of it willingly and wantingly, and they would have found life. But instead, they carried out both the husband and the wife, dead, gone, no more. So you see in this scripture, the apostles understand very well the Trinity and the nature of the Trinity. And this is an alien thing to the Jewish people. Do you understand that? The Jewish people refuse to believe that God exists in three persons. But yet God has told us He exists in three persons. God has told us that He has a Trinity, that there is the Father, that there is the Son, and that there is the Holy Spirit. And all three are co-equal. All three are the same essence. It's just like you guys being a son, a father, and a husband. Okay? I want you to think about that. You are somebody's son. You've been born. Okay? If you're married, you're a husband. If you aren't married, wait. Because then maybe you'll be a father. Don't get it out of order, right? Okay? Keep it in the proper order. But that's the reality that I'm looking at. And ladies, that applies to you too, but in a feminine way. And as we look at that and understand that God exists in three persons, God truly comes to us as God in His fullness. Because the Father is seated in heaven. The Holy Spirit dwells among us. And Christ has come to set us free. And now, where does He sit? At the right hand of God the Father. He's our emissary. He is our intercessor, constantly before God, bringing prayers concerning us. Have you ever thought about that? The Holy Spirit is here doing the work of God among us. Jesus, the Son, is in heaven on your behalf, speaking grace, grace, grace. Why? Because every time we fail, what do we deserve? Death. And a day will come when He will leave the Father's right-hand side and the Holy Spirit will be pulled away. And when that happens, what happens to the earth? Judgment. Judgment. Okay? So right now, we're in an awesome time. We're living in a time of unprecedented power among the peoples on earth. We're living in a time of grace that the world has never known. Because even in the Old Testament, God brought wrath, didn't He? How much wrath have we seen up to this point in time? The only wrath we've seen is what we cause ourselves. The only wrath that we've seen is political and socio-political wrath, economic wrath that we play upon one another, plaguing one another with the different things that we do. God has not brought His wrath since the coming of Christ and the releasing of the Holy Spirit. What a day we live in. What a glorious day we live in. What a great day we live in. For we live in the day of grace. We live in the day of power in the Holy Spirit. And we live unto Christ. God shows us through His Word. Now I'm going to throw out a bunch of scriptures here. And I'm going to pick one or two that we're actually going to look at. But I'm going to throw out a lot of scriptures here because I want you to understand that this just isn't pastor saying this, and this isn't just one verse. Because if God is the Holy Spirit, then all the attributes of God have to apply to the Holy Spirit also, don't they? If he misses one attribute, he can't be God. Well, the reality is there's only three attributes that we really have to worry about because all the other attributes come under those three. Is the Holy Spirit omnipotent? What's omnipotent? All power. Is the Holy Spirit all power? Well, turn to Luke 1:35. Turn to Luke 1. Because I'm just going to use one scripture here, and then I'm going to show you several others a little bit later concerning this omnipotence, okay? But the one that I want to start with is the one that we will all grab a hold of, because is Jesus Christ fully God? Yes, we know he is. So if Jesus Christ is fully God, then we know too the Holy Spirit is fully God. Why? Look at verse 35 in chapter 1. In verse 35, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Only God Himself could bring about that power. The Spirit of God, the Holy God that we all know, came upon her in spirit and in power. We actually spoke it just a little bit ago when we spoke our Apostles' Creed. That he was born of the Virgin Mary, right? How was he born of the Virgin Mary? Conceived of whom? The Holy Spirit. So we understand from that reality, if Jesus, who is the second person of God, came into being, and he is God, the very person that brought him into being also has to be God and is equal to and with him. Therefore, we know that he is omnipotent, all-powerful. Well, that's his birth. But do you know what? It goes beyond that because it also goes to his death and resurrection. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. In order to be God, we also need to be omniscient. What does omniscient mean? All-knowing. Okay, all-knowing. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we are looking at verses 10 and 11. In fact, I want to go all the way back to verse 9. We're going to start in verse 9. All the way back. We're going back one more verse. We're going all the way back to verse 9. Verse 9 says, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." As we understand that reality, none of us have seen these things. None of us can think these things. Only God can think and see these things, for they are future things. For they are they are things of eternity present, eternity future, and eternity past. And only God can know those things, because if he searches the depths of God, that means he has to be able to go all the way back before the very beginning and know the very thought that created life itself. So therefore, we understand that the Spirit of God, because in the beginning was who? God. And the Spirit of God hovered over the what? The deep. What do you think the deep was? That's God's depth, God's thought. And the Holy Spirit hovered over it. He knew all these things because he is God. And as we understand that, we come to understand that he is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. Well, what's the third one then that we have to deal with? Omnipresence. Is He always everywhere? And that's the awesome part about the Holy Spirit. That's the one thing that most of us do grasp, and we grasp it well. And I love this one because I like to pull this one out of the Old Testament. Turn to Psalms. This is where I was telling you to go earlier. Psalms 139. Psalm 139. And like I said, I'm just giving you one scripture here, and I'm going to fly through a bunch here in just a little bit. But Psalm 139, verse 7. And actually, I'm going to read 7 through 12. Verse 7 in Psalm chapter 139 says this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Do you see how the writer here, please remember, this is a psalm, okay? These are pieces of a stanza, all right? So we are equating spirit with presence, okay? You see how the psalmist is doing this? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? Spirit and presence are equal in this hymn. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Even in the darkness, the Holy Spirit is there. Remember, He was there in the darkness before light was created. So even in our sin, which is represented by darkness, the Holy Spirit is there. Everything you do, God sees through the power of the Holy Spirit. Is He God? Yes. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. And He is omnipresent. He has all the attributes of God. And from Him we find the reality that the Trinity is revealed in God's Word. What is the one place that we can all, right off the top of our head, know the Trinity is spoken of in the Scriptures? It's in the book of Matthew. It's called the Great Commission. Go and baptize. Isn't that what he says, Brother David? In baptism, we understand how important the Trinity is, because we're not told to go and baptize in the name of God the Father. We're not told to go and baptize in the name of Christ the Son. We're not told to go and baptize in the name of George from Philadelphia. We're told to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune God that we serve, the Trinitarian God that we serve. I love the way we've defined that word, because there are Trinitarians, there are Triunitarians. You know, it's three in one. They are all one. And as we come to that understanding, we understand that right now we have a very special thing. Because God the Father and God the Son are out there working in the world, and so is God the Holy Spirit. But we have God the Holy Spirit where? He resides in us. The Scripture says He will come on you and He will be in you. Jesus Christ does not dwell in us. God the Father does not dwell in us. God the Holy Spirit dwells in us, right? And in that, dear brothers and sisters, all three are present. The Holy Spirit is the guarantor. He is the one who enters into that relationship with us in a very personal and very real way. Jesus Christ is in heaven interceding before God the Father. And God the Father is in heaven overseeing everything. We need to understand that those two are there, the Holy Spirit's here, and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we still have the presence of what? All three. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. So in the Holy Spirit, is the Father here? Is the Son here? You better believe it. I love knowing that the Trinity dwells in me, but yet I don't understand it, because how can the fullness of God dwell in me? How can the fullness of He who created the universe dwell in me? I'm flesh and blood. I'm this little thing that, you know, I have a hard time doing anything but creating messes. And He who... Okay, Brett, that's enough. And He who created the universe, He who is in charge of all things, He who sees your tears, He who knows your hopes and dreams, He who can bring you the hope of eternity, dwells fully in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand how important the Holy Spirit is in the life of a believer? He is all our power, for He is God in us. When we understand that, we come to realize that there's something going on here that we need to realize. And Jesus tried to show us that. Jesus tried to show us the symbiotic relationship that we're supposed to have with the Holy Spirit. What's symbiotic mean? Can somebody define that for me? What's symbiotic mean? Works together. Okay. Works together. Anybody else? Okay. David? Not necessarily beneficial, because a leech is not beneficial. A tick is not beneficial. Okay. But those things live off of us, okay? There's a symbiotic relationship there. But you've got the point that I wanted you to get. The one lives with the other. The one is a host, okay? Guess who the host is? Us. Brother Chuck's pointing at himself from a long distance. Us. We're the host. And God asks permission. A tick or a leech doesn't ask permission, do they? No. Neither do diseases or all these other things that evil has created. They simply come upon us. All right? God asks permission. God wants to be invited. God wants to be part of a choice to live a holy life. God wants us to follow Him because we want to follow Him, because we want to love Him. We want to have this relationship, because this is one relationship that is beneficial. Okay? So God asks us to be part with Him, just as He did in Christ Jesus. What am I talking about? Well, do you know Jesus was born by the power of the Holy Spirit? We just spoke that. That's Luke 1:35, right? Jesus was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. So He would not have come into existence without the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not come into the existence of salvation, into our Christ-likeness, without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be what? Born again. And that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born once in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? We were born in the power of our parents. Because God has given unto His creation the ability to procreate. And we actually spoke about that a little bit earlier. There's a little one laying over there. There's one about to come. And all of you were little ones at one time. Even me. Can you believe that? At one point in time, we were all babies. We came into this life because our parents formed a union. And from that union, we came. So too, the Holy Spirit formed a union. Because remember, Mary was the one who carried Jesus, right? Did He just come upon Mary and say, hey, you're going to have this kid whether you want it or not? He got permission. The angel Gabriel came and announced all this stuff to her. And what was Mary's response? May it be as you have said. She had to agree. And she did. And by that we have our Lord and Savior. So Jesus came into existence through the Holy Spirit. So too do we come into an existence with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Jesus Christ was crucified by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? We all say that it was because of Rome, you know, and our sin and all that stuff. But you need to understand something. God had to play a part in this because God is the author and finisher of our faith. Isn't that what the Bible says, Mitch? The author and finisher of our faith. So if God didn't have a hand in all of it, then God didn't do it. All right? And God has to be in control of all things. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. And I want you to look at chapter 9 and verse 14. Because again, we need to understand that there's something going on here that is very powerful and very real. And God has got to be in control of it. Because if He's not in control, then we are. And I hate to tell you this, all we can do is bring about death. And we know that from the Garden of Eden. Chapter 9 and verse 14. Chapter 9 and 14. Are you ready? He says in chapter 9, verse 14, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from the acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" Do you understand what that's talking about there? When Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He kept praying, "Father, take this cup away from me." 3 times He prayed that prayer, right? That was His human will. That was His full human nature. That was this candle. But He submitted to the divinity of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He accepted that which came before Him. And through that power, He was able to endure the cross. Fully God, yet fully dependent upon God. Can you understand that? If you can wrap your head around that one, you need to teach me something. Because I'm telling you right now, that's one of the most difficult things for me to grasp. How can He, who is fully human, yet fully divine, be influenced by the divine? Because He left His glory in heaven, right? He was in the garden praying, "Lord, take this cup away from me." Praise God that He submitted to the Holy Spirit, right? The reality is He couldn't not submit to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He is God. He had to submit. Because He was submitting to whom? And I think this is cute. Himself. If there's one who can submit to Himself, it's who? God! And that's exactly what He did. But that's what we need to do. We need to understand that just as Jesus had to fight His human nature, we have another nature awaiting us. Do you see it now? We have the light of life because God spoke and He breathed into man life. We have the light of life, but we need a better light. We need a light that burns forever. We need the light of divinity. The light that is filled with power to live forever. And when we submit to that reality, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we receive life eternal, the guarantor unto that day. Am I making sense? You know, there are times I stand up here and I preach and I think to myself, I swear these people aren't getting it. I am the dumbest man on the face of the earth. How can I speak to you folks? And I do, I really do, because I know who Rich Dubs is, the guy from Glen Rock that, you know, I don't ever want you folks to meet. My wife married him, and he's gone, and now I'm here. Look at her, yeah. She can attest to it. But I hope I'm making sense. I'm trying with all my might and all the study that I can put into it. Because folks, this is real stuff. This isn't fake. This is where the rubber meets the road. And Jesus was our example of submitting that we may receive life. Because His crucifixion, His death was empowered by the divine to come unto life. How do we know that? That's part of the resurrection. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 8:11. Romans 8 and 11. And I'm going to go back. We are going to go back to verse 10, all right? Because this is what I was just speaking, and we need to read this with it so it makes complete sense. It says, "But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." Brothers and sisters, we receive life just as Christ received life back into this world. To come back into this world, he received it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one, Jesus was sinless. He could not die. He gave himself up through the power of the Holy Spirit as he wrestled with his humanity. But he came back to life because he was sinless and because the power of the Holy Spirit raised him up out of the grave. That takes God power. And you and I have that very same guarantee that when we die, Jesus says, those who die shall yet live, if you die in him. All right? And we need to understand that's the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For when we are born again, the Holy Spirit resides in us. And though this mortal coil may end, he, by the power of his Holy Spirit, will resurrect us and bring us to that place of glory where we will one day receive a glorified body, a resurrection body, a body filled with spirit, a body that will not age, a body that will not deteriorate, a body that will last for all eternity to the praise of God. Amen.
Amen, Lord.
When you and I understand how important is the Holy Spirit, he's the least talked about of the persons of God. One of the least understood, but yet he is our ever-present help and power. How do we know that? Well, that's the final aspect of Christ's life that I want you to look at. Turn with me, if you would, in the book of Acts to chapter 1. I know I've got you bouncing all over the scripture. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do, because this truly is the word of life. And from it, we find those realities that give us the hope to know that this is all here, this is all real, and we need to partake of it just as Christ showed us. Because in that reality, we're in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, in that reality, we will find life. In that reality, we will find hope. In that reality, we can bring that precious gift to others. That's why we're here. You know, it so amazes me how many people come to church for themselves when the reality is God called us as a people to go out, to be witnesses to the world, not to sit in here and keep it all to ourselves. That's an American thing, okay? That's a human thing. It's not an American thing. It's a human thing. All humans do the same thing. You know, when we're babies, okay, isn't it wonderful how we teach our children to share? But what do they constantly say? Mine, 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 even if it isn't mine, mine, okay? And it's so funny because I hate to tell you this, adults. Mine, mine, mine. Am I wrong? Ask me for the keys to my car, right, Brother David? I'll give you the keys to Russell's car.
The Saab.
The Saab.
I don't want it.
You don't want it? When we look at this scripture, I want you to grab a hold of what it says. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. When we understand this, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through whom? Who was instructing Christ? Whose word was Christ giving to the apostles? Whose word should we be listening for in our lives? Whose word should we be given to the world? Whose word do we submit ourselves to in this world? The word of God or the word of men? We live in a horrible, horrible place. I love my life and I love being American. I wouldn't want to live in any other country. I don't ever want you to think I'm saying something bad. I'm not. I'm simply speaking truth. We live in a horrible place. It's called the flesh. And God says we need to live in the Spirit. For He wishes to have worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And our entire life is meant to be an act of worship. Do you know act of worship means living in such a way or behaving in such a way as to glorify someone else? What we're doing is to glorify someone else. And that's what our lives are supposed to be, worship unto God. And when people look at us, they say, why is that person so happy? Because the Holy Spirit's in me. Why is that person, you know, not bothered when things go wrong? Because the Holy Spirit's in me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit empowers us. Because we are led by the Holy Spirit. Because we are directed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was directed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was crucified in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is to be our lives. He showed us the way we are to live. In the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Why the third person? Because the first person is about the business that he needs to be about, all of creation, holding it all together. Is that a big task for God? Absolutely not. But that's what he has set himself to. All those things. And Jesus Christ, who is the Son, the one who is life itself, who without nothing would have been made, and nothing that is made or seen has not been made, right? So he who is life is now seated at the right hand of God, concerning whose life? Ours. But God would not leave us alone, for I shall send a comforter, and he will instruct you unto all things. And he will be the Holy Spirit. Jesus showed us how to live. We understand that the Holy Spirit truly is God. Let's treat him that way in our lives every day. Calling upon him. Today, we set up our tabernacle. I'm sorry, guys, I'm in front of the... Today, we set up our tabernacle. I got to stay away from hot spots. And we have said God is now dwelling among us. Well, folks, if you're in Jesus Christ, He's been dwelling in you all along, amen. We have simply set up our symbols that as a congregation we can come together and say we know what each of these things are and what they represent. This is our holy place, our coming place. That here, we offer up our worship. We offer up our prayers corporately. But brothers and sisters, the power of the Holy Spirit is out there. That's where He wants us to be. Out there in that world, being the ambassadors of Christ. That's why His power has come, to give us life that we may give it away. Amen. So let's take it from this place. Let's take it out of here. Let's live the example of Jesus Christ, who submitted to the authority of the Holy Spirit, receiving the grace therein and the power therein, that death could not hold him, and that he would live forever to be our Savior, to be our hope. Let us be the hope to those who've yet to know God. That's who he is to us. He is God. Introduce somebody to the Holy Spirit today and every day. That is my prayer for each and every one of you. Because in the giving away of the Holy Spirit, do you lose something? You gain all the more. So let us gain the fullness of God. Would you pray with me today?